We talked about how we need nursery workers and maybe some Sunday school workers. We also need some security people. And I know that sounds kind of like an ominous thing, and it really isn't. What it is again, we really want to make sure that the back out there is safe. And unless there's someone every week just back there, just watching things, you know, that's all that really needs to happen. Someone needs to watch things so that if one of the kids needs to go to the bathroom, someone's out there watching it, so that we're being careful, we're being diligent about the care of our children. So this is Don. Don's going to stand right now. Don is one of our leaders of our church. He's chosen by God. He was elected by you, but chosen by God because he's a gifted man. He's in charge of the security. And we just need some people to get behind Don and say, you know what, I don't mind being back there once every 6 weeks or once a month, and I'll just keep my eye on the door. Let me know what I got to do. And once in a while, if you need some help or if there's ruckus going on or something's going on, that's okay if that happens. I'm always glad when people come to church. It doesn't matter. But we need to still be able to deal with that sometimes. So I'm going to encourage you to speak to Don, and let's get a team of people behind that. We really need to do that. Another thing is, we had a big leadership meeting yesterday, so this is where a lot of this is coming out of, and I'm so grateful for the leaders that are part of our church. And we are going to be adding leaders because we really feel like we need to do that. So we're going to be adding two or three, we're not sure how many yet, but as we've done before, we need to hear from you. Like, you're what the Spirit says to you, what the Holy Spirit, how he speaks to you is really important to us. So we're asking you to present some names, and the way you can do that is in the donation box. Just take a little piece of paper, and there's some paper back there, but put two or three names down, and I'm going to encourage you not to put eight or nine names down, because it isn't about how many people you know. It's about who God is saying, and I really also encourage you, don't do it today, because you need to pray about this. This isn't just, you know, a popularity contest. The question is, who is God wanting to lead our church? It's an important role. So put two or three names down, put one name down, put it in the box, and we will take that very seriously when we consider that in our September meeting. So for the next couple of weeks, I'm just going to ask you to put those names in there. And then another thing is, because of this whole communication stuff, she's not here right now. She's back there, so I can say all kinds of wonderful things about her, and she'll never hear about it. But she's just so involved and so great for what we're doing. She really believes, and so do our leadership team, we believe we need to have a newsletter. We need to have a way to communicate to you, because there's so many things going on, and God has developed and grown this ministry so much in the last while that no one knows what's going on around here, including me. And people think I know what's going on around here, and they say, well, what's going on with this? I have no idea either. Like, I don't know much more than you sometimes. So we need to find ways to communicate. What's happening in the care ministry? Who's sick? What's happening with the youth? And what's happening with some of the other programs? We're going to have an Alpha program, by the way, starting this fall. You're going to hear more of that. And Bob and Norma are going to head that up. And that's a great way to grow. So think about that. But it's a way for us to just come together and have a newsletter, a monthly newsletter that just informs you of what's going on at Potter's Hands. What's happening at the kitchen? A lot of you guys don't even know, you know, what's going on at the kitchen and how busy Chris is working there, how many meals he feeds a week. You'll be feeding how many meals a week, Chris? About 800 meals a week get fed. Yeah. Thank you, God. And I'm ashamed to think about when the last time is that we talked about that, or that we celebrated it, or we said, thank you, God, because you provide all the time. So I'm going to commit myself to be a better communicator. I don't mean preacher, although you might think I need to improve there too. But I'm talking about just, we need to get that message across. And it's hard to do that on a Sunday. So we're going to do it with a newsletter. And here's where we get to the volunteer part again. We need a few people who know something about computers or who are willing to just spend a little time to, you know, make a template and put this together and be involved with that. There are, what I've done this Sunday is by that box, I put three different sheets. You can sign up for our security part or the newsletter or for the nursery and the Sunday school. You're welcome to do that. I sure hope you'll do that. We just need, here's the bottom line. We need to keep growing as a community. And that's, I think, been a challenge for us, is that as we get bigger and as we don't get to know each other as well, or we get so busy in our own lives, you know, we get busy not doing nothing. You know, we're not really building the community. We need to all put into this. Everyone does his part, because that's just the biblical model. You have gifts of the Holy Spirit. You do. You got gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I encourage you to use them. Lastly, we didn't have a chance last Sunday to celebrate people who came to the Lord, and I see that some of you guys are here today, and man, God bless you. I hope your week was good. How was your week? Yeah? Good. Good. Amen. I want you to know, though, that we're praying for you, and we had 4 or 5 people come up, and they prayed, and some of them were asking Jesus into their heart, and I was reminded by someone yesterday who said, you know, that's what this is all about. And if we forget that or we miss that and we get caught up in all the other stuff, we're missing the gold nugget of what God's doing here. And sometimes we end a service and something like that happens. It's really cool. But we just need to thank God for that. So let's thank God that he still saves lives. Thank God he delivers. Thank God that he sets the captive free. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Like, there's nothing that matters. Nothing is more important than when someone bows his knee to Jesus and says, I want to serve you, Jesus. I am yours. I am completely yours. Let's pray together. Thank you, God. God, we are yours. And I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for my friends and this body and for where you're leading us. And I trust you, God. This is your ministry. And we know, Lord, that you can do anything you want to do, and we invite you to do that. Just have your way. I pray that we will be a people who strive to be united and who work together to serve you and to be one body. I thank you, God, for the amazing things that you've been doing, for the lives that you're changing, and we just ask you, Jesus, to keep saving. Keep doing what you do. Save lives, Lord. And there may be people even here today that just need that. They've come here, and they don't even know why they're here, but you know why they're here, Lord Jesus. You want to save them. You want to get their feet on solid ground. You've come to proclaim good news to the poor. We're all poor, Lord, and we want to receive that good news from you. You've come to set the prisoner free and to give release to the captive and give sight to the blind. And we ask you, Jesus, to do that. Just do that, God. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. I thank you too, God, for your word. Your word is always so fresh and exciting. I love your word, and I pray today your word will just speak clearly, and you're going to touch our hearts again. You're such a genuine, you're the authentic, real God speaking your word today. And when we come to your supper, we come with grateful, glad hearts. Because you're the one who said we should come and eat and drink and remember and believe. You're the one who invites us. This is not Potter's Hand supper. This is your supper. It's the Lord's supper. So as we come and as we humble ourselves and as we confess our sins, we want to look forward to receiving that later on and just tasting again and seeing how good you are. All of these things we pray with a grateful heart. In the name of our Lord and King Jesus. Amen. Man. I just want to open God's word. Exodus chapter 12. Some of you have been gone for a while. I'm sure glad you're back. We've been looking at the story of Moses and the plagues and, you know, God wanting to set his people free. And Pharaoh saying no. Because that's what the enemy does, right? The enemy doesn't want us to be free. And maybe that's true for even you today. You just know you're not really free. And the reason for that is because the enemy wants you to stay in bondage. He wants you to stay in the chains that you're in. And we can be chained to any kind of number of things. You can be chained to money or to possessions or to drugs. Or you can be chained to yourself. You know, self, I think, is a big thing sometimes. And the message of the whole Bible, but it's sure the message of Exodus and the story of Moses and the Israelites going across the desert into the promised land is a story about deliverance. God wants us to be saved. He is a saving God. And if we miss that point, we've missed the whole point of what the whole Bible is about, but certainly what the story of God delivering his people is about. Today, we've looked at a few of the plagues, and we've looked at a few of the things that happened. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 12 today. And the last plague, you know, is the most severe. The last thing that God sends is almost hard for us to even speak out loud when God says that unless you're covered by the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, you're going to lose the firstborn son in your family, in your lineage. And we go, wow, that is so harsh. That is so severe. But as we learned last week, God's serious about his word. And even though we might not understand everything, and sometimes to us it might seem like he's just going overboard, like this is overkill, God, literally. God says, you don't know my ways. My ways are not your ways. And I have a better plan, and I have a bigger picture than you can ever see or ever imagine. And at the very end of it, you will understand that I'm God of love, that is my very nature. I am love. I am love. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I want to just read this story about what God said to his people, the Israelites, about the Passover. And it fits in quite well with the Lord's Supper, I think. So here we go with Exodus chapter 12. And so it says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at midnight. I want you to notice, and we're going to get into this, but I want you to notice that this is about community. Some of the stuff we were just even talking about, their community. You don't eat more than you're supposed to eat. You don't leave any waste. If you have extra lamb, you give it to your neighbor. You guys work together. That's what God is saying. You work together. You're one body. You're one. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of your houses where they eat the lamb. And that same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some of it is left till morning, you must burn it. And this is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. You say amen? Yeah. Lord, we hear your word today. Lord, we hear your word today. This was more than just a symbol. This was more than just a tradition. This was a living drama, I think, is probably the way to look at it. You know, God says, here's what I want you to do. And he gives them all these different things that he wants them to do to make them understand that they're leaving, that they're going to be saved, that God gets his way and he delivers his children no matter what Pharaoh has to say. And so he says, and I love this drama, this picture of drama where he says, you know, you're to put the belt around your waist, make sure you have your staff in your hand and get your cloak and tuck it up into your belt, right? Because you want your legs to be free to go and eat it in haste. You know, your mother said to you, don't eat your food so fast. Well, God said, eat this quickly. Because why? Because we're on a journey and you got to be ready. It's all about being ready. Get your sandals on, get your belt on, put your cloak up, tuck it up into your belt, and let's get going because we're heading out of here. And when I say go, we're going. So don't be sleeping. Don't be laying on a lazy boy. Get ready. And that's that picture. There's a drama. And the interesting thing, it's fascinating, is that for year after year after year, for generation after generation, even to this day, Jews who don't believe in the Jesus, who don't believe in the blood of our Lamb of God, but who still believe in this Old Testament, they they are still doing the same thing. They're still holding on to that same Passover. This tradition has passed down, okay? And there's an expediency about it that we need to understand. So glad we have Jesus. We're going to get to that. But we need to also understand that this is about God saying something to us. He's saying, get ready. The time is near, right? Be ready. Get your sandals on. Get your robe on. Tuck it up, because when I say go, oh church, when I say go, you better be ready to go. Pharaoh said, maybe you remember this, that it's a pivotal, it's a statement that he said, that everything else hangs on to this statement. He says it in Exodus 5 verse 2. He says, who is this God that I should obey him? Moses came to Pharaoh and he said, Pharaoh, it's time that you let God's people go. It's time that you release them. It's time that you let them go and worship the true God. And Pharaoh said, who is this God that I should worship him, or that I should obey him? Why would I obey him? And that statement God has been responding to throughout all the plagues. We talked about that before. And it helps me, and I hope it helps you, because when you read this carefully, we start to understand that this isn't about God against the Egyptians, okay? Even though the Egyptians suffer a lot, and there's a lot of plagues, and there's a lot of hardship, and there's death that happens, it really isn't about God versus the Egyptians. It's about God versus the Egyptian gods. That's what this is about. And you know, the same thing I think happens in our lives sometimes, that, you know, we get caught up with some idol or some god in our lives, and God takes on that idol, takes on that god. We sometimes face consequences because we've been bowing down to that idol. That's what happened with the Egyptians. And if we had time, we could spend a long time talking about how every single plague, maybe you don't realize this, or maybe you do, every single one of the 10 plagues was connected to an Egyptian deity. Every single one. And it's always God facing off with one of the Egyptian deities. The Egyptians were famous for having all kinds of gods. They had lots of gods. They had a god who was a frog god. Her name was Hapi, or Hapi. And she had the frog face. They had a statue of her. She was the frog god. And when God sent the frogs as a plague, it was his way of confronting Hapi and saying, you think you have frogs? Let me show you some frogs. See, in those days, if you were an Egyptian and you saw a few frogs on the ground, that was a great blessing. And you'd thank Hapi. You'd go, oh, there's frogs. That it represented life, and it represented the created order. But God sent so many frogs that they were crawling out of the underwear drawer and out of the cookie drawer and out of, you know, every place you could think about. The frogs were hopping all over the place. And it was God, the Lord God Jehovah, standing before the Egyptian people and before Hapi and saying, you want to know who the real God is? Let me show you some frogs. There was a god named Isis, who was the god of the Nile. And they said, or they believed, that the Nile flowed through the god, their deity, flowed through his veins. And what did God do with the Nile River? But he said, let me show you what flows through veins. And he turned the Nile into blood. And when he did that, he stood before that god, that false god, and said, look, let me show you who Jehovah is. Right? When we saw last week the hail falling, and we saw before that the locusts. There's a god of the locusts. I know it seems crazy to us. We don't have these kinds of gods, but there was a god of the locusts, and his name was Yuchit, something like that. Anyways, doesn't matter what his name was. But that, it was like a huge locust, and that was a god of plenty, it was considered. And God took on that god as well, that false god, and stood before him and said, let me show you who the real God is. Darkness. After hail and before the coming, you know, of the last plague, God sends darkness over all the land. And maybe you've heard, you probably know this, that there was a god of the Egyptians known as Re, and he was the god of the sun. And so what is God saying? God's saying, I'm taking you on. I'll take on your god of the sun, and let me show you what darkness is. And and darkness was over the land for a long period of time. And then the last, and there's more, I could do a lot more of this. The last plague is when he sends the angel of the Lord, and he takes the firstborn of every slave, of every Egyptian, and including Pharaoh's house. And I, again, if you weren't here last week, you didn't hear this, but I'm going to say it anyways, that Pharaoh himself was considered a god. He was a deity. He proclaimed himself as sovereign. He was sovereign. He was God. And yet Pharaoh couldn't even save his own son. Pharaoh's son loses his life in this plague. And what's happening? You understand what's happening? It's God standing up before Pharaoh and saying, Pharaoh, I am the Lord God. I am who I am. I am everlasting. I am all-powerful. Your gods, including you, Pharaoh, you do not stand against me. You topple over, you fall. I am God. The first commandment. The first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the words that precede that are these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. And it's God standing before his people like he would to us today and say, what is it with all these idols? What is it with these gods that are in your lives? Don't you understand? Don't you realize that I am the only God? The gods that are in our lives are gods we make just as much as the Egyptians made up. We make them up. We manipulate gods. We turn things into things that we worship. You know why we do that? We do it because we are hardwired, we are created, we are originated to worship. God made us to worship. It's just in us. And it doesn't matter who you are. You don't need to be a believer. But everyone worships. Everyone responds. And so when you don't believe in the real God, you form some other God. You make it out of clay or out of steel or it's a 68 Camaro that you worship. Or, you know, we worship ourselves. Isn't it true that we live in a world where people are just always worshiping themselves? I am all that's important. I bow down to me, and I expect all the rest of you to do the same thing, by the way. Right? The God of self. We make that God a God in our lives. And God of possessions. How many people are filling their third garage in their house? You look at houses online. You look at people selling houses. I can't believe how many garages people have nowadays. And they're all full of junk because we have a God of possessions who we bow down to and we say, I need more stuff. I'm not feeling very good today. I think I'm going to Canadian Tire. And all that stuff is because we want to worship. We got to do something. Some of you don't go to Canadian Tire. You go to Cleo's or some other place. But, you know, the point is this, and I could go on. There's all kinds of gods in our lives, and we make them gods in our lives, and it's only because we don't worship the true God. We're not giving our whole hearts to him. We're bowing down to the bottle, or we're bowing down to the credit card, or to ourselves, or to fun and excitement, or all the other things. When God says, am I not all you need? I am your God. Bow down to me. There is no other gods. There is no other God but me. Every other God that you make, every other God you bow down to, even if it seems noble, like my career or being successful or being a wonderful dad, those things can be wonderful, great aspirations. But if that becomes your God, it becomes the thing that you worship, the reason why you live, it becomes the creed of your life, then God is secondary in your life. And he says, I will stand up. Listen to me. I will stand up against any God in your life, and there will be consequences because I'm serious. I'm serious to save. God is serious to deliver. And you know, and that's the awesome thing about our God is it's all he really cares about. And he says, I don't care how it happens. He says, if it means that there's going to be gnats, there'll be gnats. If it means that there's going to be blood in the river, there'll be blood in the river. If it means that I need to send darkness, I will send darkness. If it means that there's going to be frogs and locusts, I will send frogs and locusts. But I am going to save, because that's who I am. I will save you. I will deliver you. Amen. Yeah. And today, it's about the blood. Isn't it? You can't miss this. If you know your Bible, you know the New Testament, it's about the blood, and I just want to spend a little time today just talking about the blood, and then we're going to break into a big circle and enjoy the Lord's Supper together, and we're going to celebrate the blood of Jesus, that he is the sacrifice. You know, Corinthians 5, 1 Corinthians 5, I think verse 7 says that Jesus is the sacrificial Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. John, when he saw Jesus, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, look, there's Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came for what? To take away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Back in Moses' day, God made something very clear to Moses and to God's people. He said, you need to kill a lamb. And there's a whole, we read through the whole thing that was prescribed here. You can't eat too much. You don't take it all for yourself. You don't waste it. Don't eat the flesh that hasn't been cooked. The reason for that was because there's blood in it, and they believed that life was in the blood. So there's all kinds of things prescribed. And then God says to Moses, and tell my people to take the blood of the lamb and paint it, put it on the doorpost, and cover the threshold with blood. Cover the threshold with blood. Cover it thickly. Do what you can so that when the angel of death comes, he will pass over. He will pass over your house. You will be protected. You will be saved. You will be delivered. Your firstborn will not lose his life. Let's talk about the blood. I want to just say three things about the blood today and the importance of it and how it leads us to the blood of Jesus and how the blood of Jesus is so pivotal in our understanding of our deliverance, because the only way that we can be saved is through Jesus' blood and Jesus' righteousness. The first thing I want you to understand about the blood, and believe me, this is as true in the Old Testament as it is for us today, is that the blood identified, okay? The blood identified who God's people were. When God saw the blood, it was like a light went on for God, and he go, oh, there, this household. And I love how it's household. Isn't that something that's encouraging about that? Some of you struggling with your children, you have some maybe children who don't love God, and I'm not saying everyone in the world is saved, but there's something great about the fact that God sees us as households and that there's something protective about that, and that God says this identifies you. When you have the blood, you are identified. When the blood covers you and you've received Christ into your life and you have that blood and his righteousness, then God sees you. He says, you're righteous. You are clean. You are holy. You, Andy, you are washed clean in my blood, he says. The blood identifies us. You get that? And you know, when that happens, this is really something I believe, but if you really understand that and you receive that blood and you go, I am identified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, then you live differently. I mean, if we truly understood what it really means to be covered in his blood, then we don't do some of the things that we do, because that's not me anymore. I'm covered in blood. That's why I wore this shirt today. I wanted you to see it. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm covered in the righteousness of Christ. I don't do all those things I used to do because I am now identified with Jesus. I am his. I am a new creation, not that old creation anymore. So here's the first thing, is that when you have the blood of Christ, you're identified in a whole new way. You've got an actual new identity. I read a tragic story a couple weeks ago about a 13-year-old girl who died in an automobile accident, and her parents were just devastated, and she actually wasn't quite dead. She was still on life support, and the doctors were pleading with the parents to give the heart away, to do that organ donation thing, and the parents just couldn't do it. They just said, I can't even imagine you cutting into my little girl, is what the mother said. I can't imagine it. I'm not going to do it. But eventually they changed their mind. The mother said, I'll do it on one condition. Because there was a 16-year-old girl who needed his heart real badly. And I'll do it on one condition. She said, if I donate my daughter's heart, I want to be able to put my ear to the chest of the 16-year-old girl. I want to hear my daughter's heart beating in her chest. And that's exactly what happened. And she went that week or the week after, and she rested her head. And she heard the heart, that same heart that was in her 13-year-old daughter. She heard that heart beating. And then I really believe that that's really what God does with us. Is he says, I'm going to put a new heart in you. Yeah, I'm taking the old heart out, and I'm putting the heart of my son. And that when God approaches us, and when God listens, he doesn't hear my heart beating anymore. He hears the beating heart of his son. Because it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? Second thing is, and I guess in some ways we've touched on this, but not only are we identified with the blood, but the blood is really the heart of how we're delivered. It is the Passover. We are the judgment that is due us, and we're all due that judgment, by the way. Every single one of us is a sinner. Every one of us has fallen short. Every one of us is condemned. What the blood does is it allows God, it gives God the freedom to pass over us because we're saved by that blood. We're saved by it. Isn't that something? The blood removes the judgment. The blood is, you know, the Passover blood is kind of like a passport. You, God gives you this, here's a passport. Now you can travel. Now you can come into my kingdom. You know, the blood is what allows the God to say, I no longer hold you accountable to what you've done. I've removed that from you, and I've placed it on my son, Jesus Christ. And by the way, what God demanded, that firstborn son, what God demanded of all those people who lived in Egypt, God also demanded of himself when he demanded the life of his son, Jesus Christ, so that by his blood we could be passed over. Isn't that something? Thank you, God. Thank you for your blood. Thank you, God, for your righteousness. Thank you, God, that you pass over the guilt that I rightfully deserve. Thank you, God, that when you see me, and this is hard to believe sometimes, when he looks at you, he goes, all I see is purity and holiness and someone who is washed and clean and deserving. And you go, what? Me? Deserving? God goes, that's what I see because I pass over all that other stuff. I pass over hell for you. My son died so that you could live. My son died so that the blood that is all over you is your righteousness. You know, you should be celebrating that because you know what that means? It means that it doesn't matter who we are. And I look at some of you and you look at me and yeah, we see the flaws and we've blown it so many times. We've done things wrong. We've found ourselves in a state where we should never have been before. We're disappointed with ourselves. But God is a God who looks at us and he says, you are righteous. I love this. I don't remember your sins anymore. You go, well, I do. What about that? Don't even remind me, God said, because I don't need to know. You are covered. You're covered in my blood. What you think of yourself doesn't matter. You hear me? Doesn't matter what you think of yourself. What matters is what God thinks of you. And he thinks that you are pure because you have received Christ. If you've received Christ, that's true for you. You know, a good friend of mine, someone who's here today, but I'm not going to point him out. I don't want to embarrass him. But I think two days ago, the police picked him up. And there was old warrants that he wasn't even aware of. He's given his life to Christ. He was baptized. I'm not going to point him out to you. I'm not even going to look at him because he's going to. But, you know, that's the way the world works sometimes, right? Is your old past, they're not going to forget about it. If you've got warrants and you're running away or you forget about them, he forgot that he even had these warrants. The world will never let you forget. There'll be a police at your door one day, and that's what happened with this guy. The police were there, and he said, okay, we're putting you in jail. He goes, well, what for? I didn't do anything. Well, this was from 5 years ago. You got old warrants. You breached a probation or this or that. You will never get away with that with the world. But with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got the blood. He says, I'm going to pass over because that's what grace is. That's what grace is. Grace is undeserved favor. Yeah. And then just the third thing. The blood is life. And I just want to leave you with that last thought. The blood is life. And it's like I said earlier, it's why they weren't allowed to eat the meat raw, because the Hebrews really believed that there was life in the blood. They didn't believe that life started at conception or that life started, you know, some other, when there's a heartbeat or when there's brain activity. They believed there's, when there's blood, there's life. Where there's blood, there's life. And what's so true is that when I have the blood of Christ all over me, I've got a life that I never had before. I mean, I'm actually, the blood, there's life in the blood. I guess I found a long way to say this when I went around it, the long way. But just so you understand what I'm trying to say is, man, there's life in this blood. And we should start getting busy living instead of getting busy dying. It's time to live for Christ. It's time for us to, you know, it should be visible in our lives, I think. People should see us and they should say, you know what? She's got the blood of Christ on her because I see the way she dances. And she's got joy and she's been set apart. I mean, if all of this is true, that the blood sets us apart and that we're passed over from life into death and that we've got life and vibrancy, it should be evident, right? It should be evident. People should see it. They should recognize this in me, that I got Christ living in me. I got a new heart and it's beating with Christ's blood. It's time to start living. Hear me today. It's time that we start living. It's time that the church rises up and says, we're alive. I'm living for Christ. I am going to expend whatever years, whatever days I have left serving my King. I am going to tell the world that Jesus is Lord. He is my Lord. He's my King. He is the eternal King. He's the Master. He is the only God. And that every other God is not a God, just a man-made God. Thank you, Jesus. God says in Deuteronomy, choose life. Have you done that? Choose life. So many people today are not choosing life. They're choosing drugs or money or any other God that I've already talked about. We choose all kinds of other things. God says choose life. Here, I place it before you. Life or death. You want to choose life? Choose life. And if you choose life, then it's about time you start to show that you're alive. Because if you're just doing this, and you can barely tell whether the chest is breathing or not, and if that's the kind of Christian you are, hey, you make fun. I know I'm not going there. But, you know, if people can't tell we're alive, then all of this is just a bunch of nonsense and it isn't true. It's false. I have a new life. I am alive in Christ. I have the joy of the Lord. I have something that the Hebrews didn't have. I got the Holy Spirit. I have the power of God's Spirit in my life. I have Him surging inside of me. I have Him directing and guiding me. I have Him equipping me with His gifts and allowing His fruit to just pour from my life. And if I'm doing this, it doesn't show very well. And it isn't very grateful, right? It doesn't show. It's bad form, if nothing else. At least show like you're alive. So if I shake you, is something going to happen? You know, I think that's what God says sometimes. Do I have to shake you? What do I got to do to see whether there's breath in you? You're alive. You are alive. My blood puts life in you. Oh. That's so much better than this. I mean, I've been to churches. We could do better even, I think. We can do better. But, you know, I want to be around people who are alive. I find that the more that you're around people who are vibrant and who are filled with God's Spirit and who are living for Jesus, the more I want to live, right? The more I see them jumping and dancing and serving God. Thank you, God. And I don't know what it is, and I know that it's connected to Pharaoh, it's connected to the enemy, it's connected to Satan. But I know that all he really wants us to do is just to sit back and do this. He says, just put that thing away and serve me and live. Because you are going to live forever, you should start living now. It isn't just the kingdom that's going to come. The kingdom is here and now. It's time to start living now. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Pray with me. Thank you, God, for life. And Lord, I pray that your life will exude and just fill us and overflow. I pray that the joy will be inexpressible and unutterable, like you say in your word. I pray, God, that your blood would be all over us. All over us, God. That we will be righteous because of you and your grace and the gift that you give us. And Lord, that we'll live differently. We will live differently because we are identified by that blood. Amen. And lastly, God, just what you're telling us, may it be so that our neighbors and our friends and our family and our children, that when they look at us, they're going to say, wow, there's life there. May that life be so evident that it is undeniable. We don't even need to use words. Our lives will proclaim you as the King, as the eternal Lord and God. Hallelujah. Amen. You can give me a hand with the table. There we go. Thanks. This is the Lord's Supper, like I said before. It isn't Pastor Stan's supper. It isn't Andy's supper because he and Karen, you know, provided this. It isn't. It's not Potter's Hand supper. This is the Lord's Supper. He says you should come if you believe. If you don't believe, you should think about not coming. And I'm not uninviting you. God is. He's saying this is important stuff. So you come because you want to remember and believe, and you want to celebrate. You want to celebrate life. Jesus, the Passover lamb, the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. He was with his closest friends. And I feel like that's true for us too. I feel like I'm with some of my closest friends and people who are engaged in ministry and who got my back and who are praying for me, and I'm praying for you. And Jesus was in that situation. He said, this is my body. Take it and remember that I gave my life for you. And then he took the cup, and there was the blood, you know. He said, this is the symbol of my blood. This is a symbol of life. This is a symbol of Passover. This is a symbol of being identified through my blood. This is a symbol of it. This is a new covenant. I'm giving you something new today. They didn't have it in Moses' day. I'm giving you something new. It's a new covenant in my blood. This morning, I'm going to invite you to come forward and to take a piece of bread and to take a little cup, and then we'll stand in a circle, whether we can make it around this or we need bigger, that doesn't matter. We're going to sing a couple songs while we do that. I'm going to ask you to not take until we can all take together. So just hold on to it and worship God as the Lamb of God. So let's do that. Paul, would you get my glasses? Sit right there. Okay, just worship God as we come.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia to the Lamb. Jesus, you're the lover of my soul, and you wash my every day. Though I stumble and I fall, back again. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia to the land. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia to the land. Jesus, you're the lover of my soul, and you wash my every day. Though I stumble and I fall, your mercy draws me back again. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia to the Lamb.
Just sing hallelujah.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia to the Lamb. Your only Son, no sin to hide. You have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty spot and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love, they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king, they named the cross, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood. God, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Go ahead and find a place in the circle. Amen. Today we celebrate the Lamb of God. Today we remember what John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." You know, that includes you. And good news, it includes me. Today we remember that there's power in this blood. Power that we can't even imagine, words can't express. I tried to explain it, but it's always going to fall short. There's power in His blood for whatever you need in your life. There's power. There's also power to destroy the idol that's in your life. Something that needs to be destroyed because it's blocking your view from God. There's power in Jesus' blood. I've asked a few of you, we're just going to read and hear some scripture about the Lamb of God. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and to listen to this. Let God's word speak, and then we will eat and drink and celebrate. So I forget who's got number one, but let's just bow our heads and listen to what God's word says. And if you are speaking, just speak with a real loud voice. Amen. 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 Thank you.
partake, eat. Remember and believe the body of Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This is the blood of the Lamb. Take and drink it. Then would you pray? Just pray with a loud voice so we can all hear you. Just thank God for this. Will you pray? Amen. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Amen. Amen. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes. Amen. Amen. Can you say thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
I want to just, one thing I was supposed to mention before, next Sunday we have a special speaker coming in who's going to bring the Word of God. His Reverend William Kabundo, he's a missionary from Kenya. He lives in Kenya. He's spoken before. He's very dynamic. I invite you to bring your friends. And he also has a prayer and a healing ministry. And I think after the service, there'll be a time for healing and prayer. Just come and bring friends. And he's usually a very good speaker. So let's next Sunday, let's spend a few minutes just thanking God. It says in Exodus 12 that this became a festival and a celebration, this Passover did. So quick, short things that we're praising God for. Go ahead. For health. Thank you, Lord. For joy. Thank you, Jesus, for your joy. For forgiveness and peace. Amen. Amen, Everett. For a great wife. For the family of God, we say thank you, Lord. Let's go. How do we thank God? Thank Him. For the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. For access through His broken body, we say thank you, Jesus. Amen. A couple more. Doug. Amen. Yeah. That you are a God who delivers and that you are intent on that deliverance for us. Thank you, Jesus. For hope. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, God. One more. Ricky. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. And I'll take the blessings of God any day over the cursings of men. Can we sing one last song as we go? I don't have my glasses. No matter.
You're the God of the nation. You are.
You're God of the city.
You're God of the city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are.
You're the light.
You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. Oh, you are. There is no one like our God. You're the King of the people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the homeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God.
Cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Greater things are still to be done in this city. Oh, greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. Greater things have
yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater